If you will, I want you to go ahead and open your Bible again to Matthew chapter number 8. We've been using this as a springboard from where we have been working out of on this idea of following me or following the Lord Jesus Christ. And while you're finding your place there, we'll be going tonight. Keep your Bible handy. We'll be going to several passages. I normally don't like to do that, but in order to bring out the thought that I have on my heart tonight, it's going to be necessary to do that. But also, while you're finding your place, I want to say in behalf of Glenda and I how much we appreciate your love and your kindness and just everything that you all have done to make this just such a special time together. And Glenn and I always look forward to our time to come and fellowship with you and enjoy time and finding out what's going on and what all's happening in your lives. And we just so much enjoy it. But we want to thank you for your friendship and your love. We'll be, some of the folks that already asked, we'll be going from here to North Carolina. And then from there, we're going to be able to take a day or two off that we started 4 years ago and on a vacation, and we're going to be able to finally go on one. But then after that, we've got coming back and got two Bible conferences back to back there near home. And so you pray for us that the Lord will continue to work. Also, we're riding through now, riding through the book of 1 John, and we lack about two more chapters. I'm talking about the chapters that I write. I'm over in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11. And I think there's going to be two more chapters. I'll be able to finish that book up. And if you will, be praying for that, that the Lord would use us. That's what I want to do. I want to be used of the Lord, whereby when He comes, I can hear Him say, "Well done. Well done." I had a very special relationship with my dad. My dad and I were very close. Matter of fact, we were more than just father and son. We were buddies. And matter of fact, one of the Christmases that I remember the most is after we were married. Glenn and I were married, my brother and his wife, and we would go down to my mom and dad's house on Christmas Day. We get there about somewhere around 9:30 or 10, and Mom would have already went to the grocery store that week, and she would have fried up an entire platter. Now, I'm not talking about a dish. I'm talking about a platter. She's fried up an entire platter of pork loin. She's fried up about 2.5 to 3 dozen eggs. She's made homemade lard biscuits, and she's made gravy, and we go down there and we enjoy Christmas morning with her and whatever. But we would trade gifts or whatever, and invariably Mom and Dad would always have a Christmas card for Glenda and I and for my brother and his wife. But on that day when we were getting ready to leave, as we were getting ready, Dad always sat in a chair over next to the door where you go out. And I never will forget, I was headed out, and he reached over in the chair like this where no one could see, and he handed me this card as I went out the door. And I went out and I got in my car and opened it up, and it was a Christmas card. And it was just for me, and he signed it, "Your buddy." Your buddy. And it thrills me to always please Him. And from that outgrew my desire to hear my Lord say, "Well done." I want to please Him. I don't want to do anything to hurt Him or harm Him or grieve Him. And I just want y'all to pray that, I've watched a lot of men, watched a lot of women in my years of evangelism and pastoring churches, stuff like that. I've watched them somehow fail before they ever cross the finish line. And I don't want to do that. I want to finish well, and I want you to finish well. And so I covet your prayers. Glenn and I covet your prayers as we travel up and down the road and we serve the Lord. If you will, as I said there in Matthew chapter number 8, we're going to begin reading again in verse number 18. And as I said, we're trying to enumerate this idea of following me. In other words, the idea of following the Lord. And we're trying to emphasize the importance or how that it ought to be of interest to us as children of God to follow Him. The Bible said here, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave the commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Let's pray. Our gracious and most kind Heavenly Father, I pray that you would illuminate my mind and my thoughts tonight. Lord, you know the desire of my heart is not to just have something that is eloquent or something that would receive the applause of man. But Lord, the desire of my heart is to preach a word of truth that will help and aid the children of God, that in days to come, the word might find that fertile soil and bring forth fruit that would abound for the honor and the glory of God. Thank you for this dear church and what they mean to us. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, continue to keep your hand upon them, and Lord, that they might continue to be a light in this community. And we'll love you and thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. As we begin on Sunday morning, we looked at some ideas of the caution of following Him. And we pointed out how that in Matthew chapter number 8 and also Luke chapter number 9, that there was three individuals that were interested in this manner, this subject of following Him. And we pointed out that it was a time in which the Lord would caution, or the Lord would give some consideration to the seriousness of following Him. We saw there with that scribe, we saw the price of following. There's going to be a price tag to follow the Lord. We saw priority. In other words, how that we are to respond when the call comes. That we're not to set it aside and live our own lives somehow to do what we want to do, but we are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto us. We saw also the caution of perseverance. We saw a guy put his hand to the plow and somehow turned his back and continually looked back to the world. But then we begin on Sunday night trying to emphasize what should motivate us to follow Him. What should be that dynamo that would do that? And we looked there, we saw the criteria of salvation. In other words, there when that rich young ruler come, he could not earn his salvation, but ultimately it's just coming and following Jesus and allowing Him to be the Lord of his life. Then also we saw on Monday, we saw there that it was the constraint of a servant. If any man will serve me, let him follow me. In other words, if you're going to be a servant, you're going to have to follow the Lord. Then last night we looked at the character of sheep. In other words, the very thing that solidifies or enumerates or drives the nail that settles the fact that you're a child of God is where Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But I want you tonight, if you will, to turn over to Luke chapter number 9, if you will. Luke chapter number 9. And I want you to look there, and I'm going to read also another couple of scriptures, but I want you to stay there in Luke chapter number 9. But notice, if you will, there in verse number 23, notice here the Bible said there, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me. In other words, this idea of again is being brought up of following him. As he said, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. Now he's saying, if any man will come after me, notice what he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let me read you another verse over in the Word of God. It's found there in the book of Luke. Book of Mark. You don't need to turn, but trust my reading in Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 34. It's the same verse that's being reiterated, but it says there, and when he had called the people unto him, he said unto his disciples there unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Also, if you will, trust my reading, you write the reference down. But it's found in the book of Romans, chapter number 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, notice here, if you will, tonight, in these verses that I've read, there's this idea of following that Jesus is making reference to, but he is tying something to this aspect of following. Now, if you're taking notes tonight, I want you to think with me tonight on the course of sanctification. The course of sanctification. In other words, as the Lord talks about the idea of those that would come, may I say, there is a cross involved in following him. In other words, if we're going to follow him, we need to realize there's going to be a cross. Matter of fact, to help you understand that, please leave something there in Luke chapter number 9, because we'll come back there. That'll be where the main message is brought. But I want you to turn to John chapter number 15 just for a moment, to help you understand what I believe to give clarity of this idea of following and the idea of the cross. Notice in John chapter number 15, Jesus here is preparing his disciples, and he's trying to educate them. He's trying to enlighten them just previous to the idea of him leaving and going away. And there in John chapter number 15, notice verse number 17 down through verse number 18. And these things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, now notice this, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but ye, now notice this, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is no greater than his Lord. If they had persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now, here's what I'm trying to bring out. I want you to see the setting here. But the idea here is, I want you to understand that we're not of this world. His disciples here, as he's talking to them, he says, if ye were of the world. In other words, he's trying to make them understand, you're not part of this world. Matter of fact, don't turn if you will, but he also emphasizes this again in John chapter number 17 and verse number 14. He said, talking to the Father, he said, I gave them thy word, and notice this, and the world hated them because they were not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not, now notice this, that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, you say, well, Brother Bob, what are you trying to bring out? What are you trying to emphasize? I'm trying to emphasize the thought that you and I need to understand this world's not our home. In other words, we don't belong here. May I say, you might as well quit trying to fit into the world. You need to might as well quit trying to get the world to like you. You need to finally quit trying to adapt to life and make a life somehow to be able to live for Christ and live in the world. At the same time, it's an impossibility because you're not of this world. Paul points out as I read, I'm not going to go back, but there when I read in Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2, the idea is we're not to allow the world to press us into their mold. Be not conformed to this world. The idea is, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I remember when I was first married, Glenn and I was working at North Electric. And I worked worked on a 200-ton punch press. And on those punch presses, we could take a flat sheet of metal and lay it up on that punch press. And there was a die that was there. And when I mashed that button, may I say, it would mash it down and it would take a flat piece of metal like this and it would turn into something like this. You say, what happened, Brother Bob? May I say, it was conformed and it was pressed into the mold so it looked like what we wanted it to look like. That world out there wants to make you and put you into their mold, but God said, hey, don't let the world press you into their mold, but be ye transformed. You say, Brother Bob, what's that word? It's the same word that Jesus used there on the Mount of Transfiguration when it was said that he was transfigured before their eyes. You say, what happened, Brother Bob? The God on the inside came to the outside. You say, Brother Bob, what should I be doing as I live the Christian life in this world as I'm not part of it and they don't love me and I'm not to love them? What's to happen? I'll tell you what, by the Spirit of God, you ought to let the God on the inside come to the outside. And they're supposed to be able to see you. You say, well, Brother Bob, what is transpiring? What is happening there? I'll tell you what, you are being sanctified. You are being separated. You are being brought out. Matter of fact, let me read you a verse. You write it down if you will. It's found right down this 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 14 through verse number 18. I want you to get this. And be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness, that's us, with unrighteousness, that's the world. And what communion, in other words, what interaction, what lifestyles hath light with darkness? And what concord or peace or whatever it is hath Christ with Baal? And what part hath they that believe with the infidel? Now notice this. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Notice this, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You say, what's he encouraging us? What does he want us to do? He wants us to be sanctified. You say, well, Brother Bob, what does that great big term mean? means just simply one thing, to be set apart for the use of God. To be set apart different from the world that's out there. In other words, that's I'm trying to show you, we're not of this world. We're never going to get along in this world. This world is not our home. They're not in love with us. And may I say, they're doing all they can to bring us down to their level. But we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are to allow the God on the inside to come to the outside, that we can exalt Christ and we lift up Christ. All men will come unto Him. Now you say, well, why are you doing all that? Why are you talking about all that? Because I want to show you how that can only be possible in your life. There's only one way that you can truly be sanctified. There's only one way in which you can truly be set apart or come out. In other words, and that is by the means of a cross. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Now look there, I told you to say in Luke chapter number 9. In Luke chapter number 9, Luke is going to show us the manner in which we can be sanctified. The manner in which we can be set apart. The manner in which as we live our lives, they can see Christ in us. They can see that there's a difference. That they can see that we are different than they are. Whereby hopefully the Holy Spirit can use that difference to woo and draw them to the point that they want what we've got. And I've got news for you, friend. If our gospel be hid, it's because we have allowed the light to be quenched and the light to be covered up. We're to be the light of the world. And if we're going to do that, like I said, the only way we can be sanctified is there must be a cross. And here, come back if you will in Luke chapter number 9 and look there again, verse number 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. In other words, we are to live a crucified life. But how? In other words, I want you to notice here the process. In other words, how is this process of living this crucified life? How is it to transpire? How is it to take place? Well, notice first of all, if you will, in this process, notice first of all, it requires separation. It requires separation. Notice what he says here, and I want you to look, and I want you to follow with me, because I studied some words today. I want you to see. He said, if any man will come after me, notice the next phrase. Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Now, I'll be honest. I had some ideas what I thought that those words meant, but I want you to look, if you will, at the word deny there. That word deny means to remove from oneself, to refuse or disown, or to deny or disown. Now think about this just for a moment. There's going to be a pulling away. There's going to be a removal. There's going to be a refusing of some things. There's going to be a disowning of some things. But here's what I want you to think about. What is it that we're to disown? What is it that we're to refuse? What is it that we are to draw away from? Well, look at the text. Don't miss it. Look at verse number 33. Deny what? Himself. Do you see the picture? Brother Luke is telling us? Hey, if we are going to enjoy this sanctified life, the first thing that's going to have to take place, we're going to have to remove oneself from himself. We're going to have to refuse himself. We're going to have to disown himself. We're going to have to break fellowship with himself. You say, what do you mean, bro? May I say, it's an act in which we establish the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're taking sides against ourselves with the Lord against us. In other words, all this time we've been over here taking care of ourselves and defending ourselves and getting what self wants and getting what self likes. And all of a sudden, Luke says, hey, I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to refuse self. You got to disown self. You got to turn your back to self. You got to have the same opinion of self that God has of self. In other words, it's an act in which we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the predominant ruler and reigner in our life. When the question comes up, somebody says, what do you want? You say, I don't want nothing. I leave all my choices up to him, whatever he wants. Where are you going to go? I don't know where I'm going to go. I leave all that direction stuff up to him. What do you desire to accomplish in your life? I don't have any set goals or whatever. All those are his goals. Now remember, I'm not part of the world. The world hates me. I hate it. I'm to come out. Jesus said, "Come out from among them and be separate," saith the Lord. And I will receive. If there's going to be that separation, the first person I've got to separate myself from, if I'm going to enjoy a time of separation, is I've got to separate myself from myself and allow Him to be Lord of my life. But then notice, not only in the text. In this, we find that there's the process of separation. But notice also, if you will, in verse 23, there's the process of shame. Notice what he said. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now notice this. And take up his cross. Now, when you first look at that, and I was reading and studying after some folks, the word take up there means to lift or rise or to bear away. And the idea of the word cross there is stake or cross for execution or suffering. But when you begin to study it a little bit, when it's used in a phrase to take up the cross, it's the idea to bear the shame. You say, what do you mean, Brother Bob? In other words, it was bad enough that a man had to die on the cross, but he had to carry his own cross to his place of execution. You know what happened when he bared that cross? He walked the streets that were lined with people that spit on him. He walked the streets that was lined with people that mocked him. He walked the streets with people that were lying. Hey, he saved others. Let him save himself. He walked the streets. And so this is the King of the Jews. This is God. This is who he says he is. And they mocked him. They spit on him. And they treat him like garbage. You say, why? Because he was bearing his cross. And I wrote this in my notes, and I want you to get this. When you bear your cross, it's more than the death of just a person. It's the death of pride. It's coming to the place that you die to your own pride, your own glory. It's a process of separation. It's a process of shame. It's a process that involves a season. You say, what do you mean, Brother Bob? Notice what he said here. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Now notice the next word, daily. Daily. I was studying that word, and when, you know, I was looking it up or whatever, the thought comes. It comes from two words. One of them means to come down upon, and the from in other words, from the highest to the lowest, and the other word means according to Eastern tradition or Eastern culture, the entire day and night as all one unit. In other words, the cross is to come down from high to low upon an individual day and night as a single unit. You say, what's he saying? You're to take up your cross always. There's not to be a time that you don't bear the cross. In other words, it's not one of them things that you wear to sunset and go to sleep and pick up the next morning. Oh no, friend, it's something that's 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year, all the rest of your life. May I say, you are to bear the shame and the reproach of the cross. You are to separate yourself from yourself, allowing Him to be the Lord of your life. There's the process of separation. There's the process of shame. There's the process of the season. In other words, day and night, we are to do that and die to personal pride and die to ourselves. But then notice fourthly in this process, it's the process of sharing. You say, what do you mean, Brother Bob? Look at verse number 23 again. And if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Now notice this, and follow him. And follow him. Remember when we study and we begin on Sunday morning talking about what this idea of following meant? The idea is to become in union with one in the same way. I don't know if it thrills you or not, but in other words, the idea is we're being invited into the company of the Lord. We're being invited into abiding in fellowship with Him. In other words, it's not just me, but it's Him and me together sharing the separation. It's Him and me sharing the shame. It's Him and me sharing together this idea of bearing a cross. And when they see Him and they see me, they see a unison of act together that we're being both as we're performing this bearing of the cross. This world's not our home. Never going to be friends to you. All it's going to do is try to attract you and pull you into their circle. Jesus said, come up from among them. And if you're going to follow me, there's going to have to be in your life a process. And that process is taking up a cross and following me daily. But then notice, lastly, real quickly, in verse number 24, in this what we're talking about, the idea of this idea of the course of sanctification, there's the product. The product. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Now you say, well, what is the writer trying to say? He's saying, for all those that will reject the cross and the separation and the shame in order that they might think they can preserve their life, he's saying the end result is they're still going to die. They're going to die. But he goes on to say, don't miss this. He goes on to say, but whosoever will lose his life, whosoever shall deny himself and come after me and take up his cross and follow me, he said, for whoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now, here, I don't know if it does anything for you like it did me, but here's what I want you to notice. In either case, trying to save it or following the Lord a bearing cross, either way you're going to die. Is that not what the text said? If you try to save it, you're going to die. But if you willingly follow Him, you die. But the good news is, if you're willing to die to yourself, He's willing, notice this, to give life. In other words, I wrote this in my notes, and it would be worthwhile for you to write down. You trade one life for another life. You trade this life for His life. In other words, the product that is there. In other words, you can have your life or you can have His life, but you can't have them both. May I say, dear friend, Jesus is coming to us and He's saying, hey, we're not part of this world. Come out from among them. You need to be separated. But the course of separation is one and only one means, and that is the means of the cross. Because it is only through the cross. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. May I say, dear friend, the thing that would change the view of the world that lives around us is if we could see, if they could see some individuals that are on the course to separation. Because when they see those individuals on the course to separation, they're not going to be seeing mortal men. But you know what they're going to be seeing? They're going to be being seen in our lives a God on the inside that's coming to the outside. And they're going to see Him. And when they see Him, you know what's going to happen? The Bible tells us in the Word of God, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You say, Brother Bob, I've got a family member I'd like to see saved. Can I tell you the best way for you to allow them to get to the point that they can see their need for salvation? Just live separated to the point that they see God instead of you. If you've got work associates that you'd like to see get saved, you say, what? Well, just let them see Jesus, not you. If you've got anybody at all that you've got enough concern about that you'd like to see them saved, may I say above, hey, listen, reason that we have such a hard time in the witness process is because this doesn't match this. What they hear and what they see is not the same thing. Can I give you some news? If you was to never say a thing, but they could see something in you, they'd get the message. I remember hearing a true story. And forgive me, you'll have to forgive me. I may have forgotten a little bit of the exact details, but I believe it had to do with D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was a man that grabbed America by one hand, grabbed Europe by another hand, shook them both for the honor and the glory of God. And they were having a meeting here somewhere. I believe it was supposed to be up in the eastern part of the United States, but hundreds and hundreds of folks would come to the meetings and hearing. And there was a fellow that came to hear Moody preach one night. And he came and heard him preach, and the next day he came back, but he came back with a fellow that worked with him there at a desk right beside Brother Tom. They worked on two desks side by side. And after the service, Brother Moody was there, and he was shaking hands, and these two men came out. And the fellow said, I come to hear you last night and was so moved by what you said, I couldn't help myself. I invited my friend that sat beside me there where we'd worked together for years. And he said, you know what was funny when I got ready to ask him? He said, I told him I went to hear Brother D.L. Moody, and I'm a Christian, and I'd like to invite you to go with me. And the funny thing was, he told me he was a Christian, and I didn't know he was a Christian, and he didn't know I was a Christian. Isn't that funny? And Billy said, no, that's not funny. That's tragic. May I say, when we follow the course of separation, we don't have to tell them. They can see the difference in our lives. If we're going to follow Him, there's some cautions. There's price. There's priority. There's perseverance. But it's worth it because it's the criteria of salvation. It's the constraint of the servant. May I say it's the character of sheep. But may I also say tonight, it is the course of separation. And if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Would you stand? Our gracious and most kind Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of being able to be in the service tonight. Thank you for the attentiveness of these folks that are here. How they've been so easy to preach to. They've been so kind to us. Lord, I'm thankful for that. But Lord, I ask one favor of you. Lord, the things that we have heard from the Word of God this week, would you not allow them to fall on the wayward soil and where the birds of the air can come and pick them up? Would you not allow them to fall upon the rocky soil to whereby when they germinate, they have no ability to draw moisture and ultimately, Lord, the stony ground allows the moisture to be pulled back in the sun they wilder. Lord, may they not fall up in that thorny soil. The allurement of the world can choke out the things of God. But Lord, I pray that in days to come, Lord, we might be maybe doing our morning devotions. We may hear a preacher on the radio. Maybe we're reading a book or a magazine of Christian influence. May these truths come back to us, and Lord, may they flourish, and may they begin to bud and blossom, and ultimately may fruit appear as we think of the importance of just simply following you. Lord, have your way. Use this place mightily. We love you and we thank you and bless these people. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.